Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Well, it's hard to believe, but in many ways, the 2020 election campaign is already underway. Candidates for president, Senate, and governor are already jockeying for position and doing their best to win name recognition and high poll numbers. Earlier this week, I sat down with one of the nation's best respected and most accurate pollsters, Tom Jensen of Raleigh-based Public Policy Polling, to get his assessment on how they're doing. Well, Tom Jensen, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Hey, Rob. Good to be with you.
So we're into the new year. Y'all have done some new polling about what's going on, the 2020 presidential election, gubernatorial election here in North Carolina. Talk to us about how President Trump is faring and what voters think about the people who might be running against him.
North Carolinians are pretty closely divided on Donald Trump, but they do disapprove of him more than they approve. He has a 46% approval rating, 50% disapproval, and it really looks like North Carolina is going to be a swing state for president for the fourth time in a row. We tested Donald Trump against six potential Democratic opponents, and on average across those six matchups, he trailed by 1 point. So it really looks like once again we're going to be pretty 50-50. Within those matchups, one thing that was very consistent, Trump always came in at 44, 45, or 46%. The Democrats did better or worse depending on how much name recognition they have. So the two Democrats who did the best were Joe Biden, who led by 5, and Bernie Sanders, who led by 3. They're obviously also the best known Democrats. Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris tied Donald Trump in North Carolina, and then Cory Booker and Beto O'Rourke each trailed Trump by 1 point. But really, when you look at it cumulatively, it's hard to think of the state as anything much more than looking 50-50.
Which is how we've been for the last several elections and probably will remain for a while, I gather. What about the gubernatorial election? Governor Cooper, in general, his approval numbers have been pretty solid during the first half of his term. How's that looking for Governor Cooper?
Well, he looks like a favorite for reelection. He has a 45% approval rating, 36% disapprove. To put those numbers into some context, so Cooper has a net plus 9 approval rating. At this time, during Pat McCrory's term as governor, he was at about minus 5. And at this time in Bev Perdue's term as governor, she was at about minus 10. So Cooper's holding up better than any new governor that we've had in quite a long time. The most competitive potential matchup for him next year is if Pat McCrory decides he wants to be governor again. Cooper would lead him by 4 points, 45-41. When they ran against each other in 2016, even though Cooper won, I would basically say the election was a tie. So Cooper shored up his standing relative to McCrory a little bit since then. Of course, it's unclear whether McCrory is going to run or not. One person we know is running is Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest. Cooper actually would lead him by 12 points, 47-35. Forrest has low name recognition, so I think that those numbers would get closer over time. But still, a 12-point lead, you're definitely starting out as the favorite. So it'll be interesting to see if the governor's race possibly ends up being the one race in North Carolina next year that's not that close, because I think the presidential and Senate races are almost definitely going to be very close.
It's an interesting situation with Pat McCrory flirting with the idea of running for the fourth consecutive time. He's lost 2 out of the last 3. And Forrest saying, no, I'm running. Well, I guess it's conceivable we could have them running against each other. How would that play out? Any ideas?
Well, McCrory would definitely start out with a lead in the primary and probably a pretty big lead, simply because he is well known and Republicans do like him. Maybe super activists are familiar with Forrest and might prefer Forrest as sort of being more of a conservative warrior. But the one caveat I would put about the fact that I'm confident McCrory would start out with a good-sized lead is that last year in Minnesota, Tim Pawlenty, who had been an 8-year Republican governor there, decided that he was going to come back and run for governor again. And he started out with a big lead in the primary, and he actually ended up losing the primary in a very similar sort of thing to how a McCrory-Forrest race would be. His primary opponent had been more involved in things on the state level in the preceding years. He was seen as sort of more of a conservative, and he was able to erase that lead that Pawlenty started out with. So I think McCrory would be at risk of something similar happening.
You alluded to the fact that it's likely that the U.S. Senate race with Tom Tillis, we all presume he'll be running for re-election in 2020, is likely to be a close race. I've seen national polls showing that that's listed as a toss-up race. Is that sort of your take on how Tillis is looking for 20, even though we really don't have any declared Democratic candidates of note? Maybe somebody will have declared between the time we record this and the time this runs, but
Yeah, Tillis is not popular. He has a 31% approval rating. 37% of voters disapprove of him, and he's pretty consistently had an approval rating in the 30s. He wasn't popular even when he got elected. The 2014 Senate race definitely for voters sort of played out as a lesser of two evils choice, so voters decided in a strong Republican year that they at least liked Tillis better than Hagan, but they still didn't like Tillis, and he won by 2 points in a strongly Republican year. So if the current political climate holds, where Democrats are doing pretty well, I think they're going to have a very good chance in that race. We found that in a race between Tillis and a generic Democratic candidate, it's a tie. So I think that there's a very good chance that North Carolina is going to end up being the most competitive Senate race in the country this time around, just like it was in 2014.
A lot of TV ads, I would
Absolutely.
Assume people, and probably more than that. What about the 9th Congressional District? We're in the midst of this morass right now where North Carolina does not have an elected U.S. representative from its 9th Congressional District due to the controversy surrounding the apparent vote tampering that's been going on in the 9th District. Mark Harris is asking to be declared the winner. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. Certainly doesn't sound like Congress is interested in seating him. Any numbers there that show what the public thinks about what's going on there?
Yeah, the public definitely thinks that we should have a re-election. Only 28% of voters in the state think that Mark Harris should be declared the rightful winner and seated. 48% say there should be another election. You know, one interesting finding on that question is that 24% have no opinion one way or another. And I think that maybe is a bit of a reality check on the fact that a lot of the population in the state isn't paying very close attention to this issue, even though it's something that obviously everybody in politics has a lot of interest in right now.
We're heading into the 2019 legislative session. Any big issues that you see out there where people might be interested in knowing what voters think about?
The thing that really jumps to the top of my head is we've repeatedly found over the last 4 or 5 years that there's about 60% support in the state for Medicaid expansion. And with the legislature being much more closely divided between the parties now than it had been the rest of the decade, it seems like there's some chance for that to happen. It's definitely something that the public would be behind. You see near universal support from Democrats for Medicaid expansion, but then about a third of Republicans support it too. So it is something where there is some level of bipartisan support. And certainly if one third of Republicans in the legislature, just like one third of Republican voters, decided to support it along with the Democratic caucus, then it would be a reality.
We'll keep our fingers crossed on that front and be paying very close attention. Thank you for all the amazing work you do to keep North Carolinians informed about what all of us are thinking and what's likely to happen in our upcoming elections and legislative sessions. And we'll do this again real soon, Tom. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Rob.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Be sure to check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.